Welcome to the healing power of your dreams on UK Health Radio with your dream divas, Teresa Chung
and Kelly Sullivan Walden. Each week, along with our recurring dream guest presenters and special guests, we'll explore the healing potential of your intuition by day and your dreams by night.
So join us
live each week
and let's discover the unexpected together.
Deep in your heart,
the snow glows white on the mountain tonight. Not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation, and it looks like I'm the queen. The wind is howling like this swirling storm inside. Couldn't keep it in, heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know. Well, now they know. Let it go, let it go. Can't hold it back anymore. Let it go, let it go. It's funny how some distance makes everything seem small, and the fears that once controlled me can't get to me at all. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No light, no road, no rules for me.
Hold back the dream power anymore.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Teresa.
The perfect dream is gone.
The dream divas don't care. Okay, I can't sing now. What the people say, Teresa.
Let the cymbals rage on.
The nightmare never bothered us anyway.
You know, Kelly, that was a bit like that scene in Love Actually, isn't it? When he tries to twist the lyrics of...
it just doesn't work.
It doesn't but
the sentiment is good. We channeled Elsa. We really did.
We did. We were having a ball here. I'm so sorry that your eardrums probably weren't. Anyway, wake up, dreamers. It is your dream time. And I'm Teresa Chung.
And I am Kelly Sullivan Walden, fellow dream diva, explorer of the sleeping and sometimes singing off-key mind. Today's show.
That was bad, Kelly, wasn't it?
That was really bad. But hey, it's 7 a.m. for me in L.A., so I get a little break. But you didn't sound that bad. You might have a career in this. I don't know. But we might let it go, because today, that's what the show's about. Letting go, letting go, letting go of old identities, old fears, old stories about who the heaven and maybe the hell we think we're supposed to be.
Because dreams don't just replay the past, they challenge it. They ask us, are you still carrying something you no longer need?
And sometimes the thing weighing us down isn't another person and what they're not doing right. It's an old, outdated version of ourselves.
Exactly. The achiever who's exhausted, the people pleaser who's resentful, the perfectionist who's terrified to rest. Dreams are incredibly honest mirrors. By night, they show us symbolically what our waking mind avoids by day.
So true. And intuition works the same way. Those gut feelings we dismiss, those moments where we know something deep down in our life no longer fits.
Dreams and intuition, of course, are deeply connected. They both arise from beneath the surface of our conscious thought. And when we ignore them, life can start to feel heavy, stuck, and repetitive.
Yeah, like we're dragging around emotional baggage that we packed long ago. That's why unpacking can be one of those very common dream themes.
Beautifully put, Kelly. Today, we're exploring why we cling to identities, beliefs, relationships, ambitions, even suffering that we've actually outgrown.
And how dreams can become like emotional release valves. Little midnight messengers saying, you don't have to keep being who you were.
And as always, we begin with a listener dream, Kelly, connected
Ooh.
to today's show theme.
I'm so excited. Okay.
And this
So,
dream came in from Amanda. And I was going to read it, Kelly, because I felt it was my turn, but I so enjoy your emotional
God.
reading of our listener dreams that, I'm going to hand it over to you because you out-diva me every time in that. So let's see if she can keep it together, everyone, as she reads
Okay,
Amanda. And Amanda, if you're listening, I know you are. I hope you are. Here we go, Kelly.
I will not cry. And there you go. That's just how it is.
She will.
I once a time stop it, Teresa. Just because I did and blubbered on last week. Okay.
Every week, Kelly.
I do?
Yes.
Well, you just
I
okay.
have
All
backup
right.
here. Yeah,
Let's
okay.
see. I'm trying. I'm normally kind of stoic, actually, but something about your
Stoic
conditioning
and
field.
Kelly Sullivan Walden should not be in the same sentence. Sorry. Okay, off you go. Come on, we're
It's a
wasting precious
sidebar
time.
conversation. We'll continue with Amanda. How about that? Okay, here's what Amanda writes. I dreamed I was standing in my childhood bedroom packing boxes. Every box had labels on it. Good daughter, perfect employee, strong one, never enough. Okay, that's the one that gets me. Amanda continues, I was frantically trying to carry all the boxes down a staircase, but they kept getting heavier. Halfway down, one box split open and hundreds of black feathers explode everywhere. I started crying. That's Amanda who started crying in the dream because she realized she couldn't carry any of it anymore. Then suddenly she says, I heard music outside. I opened the front door and saw myself as a little girl standing in sunlight. She
Oh.
smiled and said, you can leave them here now.
Wow.
And that's when I woke up sobbing, but relieved. This is an emotional dream, but it feels so good and there's so much. I mean, it kind of
Cathartic.
doesn't take a dream decoder to get this dream
No,
when you
it's
really
almost
spell it out.
perfect story, isn't it? I mean, dreams often aren't that clear.
Yeah.
Amanda, your dreaming mind, celebrate it. But what strikes me immediately is the labels on the boxes, because dreams, of course, they speak in the language of emotion, and symbols and labels often represent identities we've accepted without questioning them, almost like emotional job descriptions. Good daughter, strong one, perfect employee, I think it was. These are roles that may once have protected Amanda or earned her love and validation, but now, even though they started with good intentions to protect her in some way, they have become burdens. She's outgrown them.
Yeah, gosh, it's causing me to think about that. I can't remember what philosopher, Plato, who talked about all these, our job in our first stage of life is to develop all of these ways of being, is to be the good one, is to be like a camel with all these things on our back. And then the second stage of our life is to go out and slay the dragon thou shalt that has all of these tiles, good daughter, strong one, perfect employee. And then the final stage is to become like the child. So there's this is so important. But also the staircase. Let's talk about the staircase. There's the up and the down. So stairs in a dream often symbolize a transition psychologically, whether we're going up or down, being in one state of consciousness or another. And I love the fact that she physically can no longer carry those old identities anymore. This to me tells me that she's transitioning into this at least stage two, if not stage three, with that box bursting open with the black feathers. Oh, talk about the black feathers, Teresa.
I will. I get so many messages about feathers. Often they're white, but so many people write to me about white feathers. And I actually found a white feather on top of my computer today. So I know this
What?
show is going to speak to a lot of people. Wonderful sign. But black feathers look at the
Whoa.
symbolism of black, grief, hidden sadness, or emotional truths, finally escaping confinement. It's almost as though Amanda's subconscious is saying here, the weight you're carrying isn't strength anymore. It's actually sorrow.
Yeah, that really hit me too. It feels like the black feathers feel like the quintessential shadow image. Because it's they're feathers, they're light, but they're dark as well. And I think so many people that are listening, especially the women, I mean, but I know the men have this too. We all have to sort of fit into some box, and we get praised when we become a good little boy or a good little girl when we're coping really well.
Absolutely, but dreams ask a deeper question of us than that. At what cost? Are we receiving that praise? And sometimes what the world applauds is secretly exhausting your heart and your soul.
Yes. And then there's the child, because the child version of herself, it's kind of like in this, oh, it's the theory of the three metamorphoses. It's the final stage is to become the child, but the wise child, but that open, innocent self that's standing in the sunlight. This is all of us. This is a collective dream, Teresa. And
I
the
chose
and
it. Yeah.
exactly. And the little girl doesn't say at the end, fight harder, do more, add more stuff to your plate. She says, leave them here now. Oh, that's if I was going to break down in tears, which I will do on the side, it would be for that. Look at these goosebumps. If you could see me, you'd see goosebumps everywhere.
They give us permission, don't they, dreams, that our
Yeah.
waking mind refuses to grant us. But dreams give us permission to stop performing, permission to rest, permission to evolve. And I think that's why dreams can feel more emotionally true than waking life sometimes, because they bypass the ego. During the day, we defend our ego, our persona, and at night, the soul breaks free.
Well, I don't know about you, but I mean, I left my ego a long time ago. So, Teresa, I think this is more, for you, because I'm done with all that. Just kidding. That was my ego saying all of
Back,
that.
everyone. I don't like that. She's learning the Brit sarcasm. No.
Go. Hey, I'm half British. I
No,
don't know if
you
you
are
know
not.
that.
You are American through and through,
I
Kelly.
am American, but my
Yeah.
family is British and Irish, so I get to do some of that. The bottom line is, I think this dream is for all of us, our little inner child self in the sunlight saying, just let go, unclench, release.
Let go means losing ourselves, doesn't it? Losing ourselves is actually how we find ourselves. And today we're going to explore why surrender can feel so frightening, yet so liberating. We'll be talking about how dreams reveal emotional attachments we don't consciously recognize, why intuition nudges us towards change long before the mind catches up, and how letting go isn't weakness, it's wisdom, isn't it, Kelly?
It is. And very soon, after Teresa and I stop blabbering on and on, we're going to be
Honestly, we
joined
have
by.
phone calls outside of this, and they honestly sometimes they stretch for
They're
hours, and
like,
we've got to
it's
stop.
true. It's true. But we do have a very special guest that is
I know.
luckily, thankfully, going
He's
to come in and
he,
help
we were
us to
nearly lulling him to
talk to.
sleep there with our opening monologue. I could see
I
he
know. I think he's meditating. I
was.
don't know. But his work is all about reframing what it means to let go and why the harder we try to control life and clench, the more disconnected we become from the peace that we seek.
Yeah, his ideas on consciousness, meditation, surrender, and the illusion of the separate self are genuinely transformative, and they connect so beautifully with the wisdom of dreams and intuition.
So, dear listener, if you've been having any recurring dreams lately about old homes, old lovers,
Oh, those ex
missing
dreams, yeah.
all those exes, X marks the spot. Yeah, I haven't had any of those ever. Just kidding. That's my most common recurring dream. If you've dreamed of recurring dreams of missing trains, carrying heavy baggage, trying to get into locked rooms or being locked out, your subconscious may be already trying to tell you something.
Because dreams don't only ask, what are you holding on to? As in Amanda's dream, thank you, Amanda, for sending that dream. And everyone listening, please keep on sending the dreams in. We are like dream vampires. We never grow tired of them. But they also ask dreams, what could you become if you released it? And talking of letting go, I can see our producer, Johan, telling us to wrap things up here. And we are going to reveal the identity of our amazing guest. We're going to do the ad break now so that we have much more time to talk to him.
Okay, so time for an ad. We'll see you very soon on the other side.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
The cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the Healing Power of Your Dreams here on UK Health Radio with me, Kelly Sullivan Walden.
And me, Teresa Chung, and we're exploring the healing art of letting go and how our dreams often reveal what the soul is ready to release long before the conscious or waking mind catches up.
And we're absolutely delighted to welcome this week's special guest, the wonderful Peter Russell.
Yeah, Peter Russell is a world-renowned consciousness teacher, meditation expert, and author of many books, including How to Meditate with Out Even Trying, Letting Go of Nothing, and From Science to God.
He's been teaching meditation for more than 50 years and has inspired thousands of people around the world through his talks, retreats, teachings, and hugely popular online courses.
He's a legend, basically, isn't he, Kelly?
Yeah, and at the heart he's a rock star.
He
the
is.
Rock star of meditation.
Yes, he is. He is. Oh, I like that. At the heart of Peter's work is a profound idea that so much of human suffering, whether personal, social, or even global, comes from limited beliefs and outdated ways of thinking that we cling to unconsciously.
Maybe you cling to, but I have stopped
Kelly,
doing all that
so
long
with
ago.
You today. It's the
so moving on.
Just stop it.
So this is why we need Peter here to be the referee between Teresa and I. Who's the more enlightened one? I think I am.
I dream more. I have better dream recall than you. Anyway, come on.
Peter's going to help us move out of those rigid mental patterns and dissolve the boundaries.
Absolutely. Dreams dissolve the boundaries of the everyday thinking mind. They invite us to be more intuitive, symbolic, don't they? And to see beneath the surface of things.
And meditation, which is something I hope we get to do on the show today, is something very similar, creating
space. Well,
we would
space. If you stopped talking, Kelly. You know, we need to find out more about Peter's work, books, teaching, retreats, and online courses. And you can
know,
visit his website at www.peterrussell.com. peterrussell, that's double S, double L dot com. Peter, thank you for your patience. It's great. I really,
Help
she
us, Peter. We need
help.
you. God bless you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm looking forward
Thank
to this.
you.
You
I
obviously
do
have
have
a
may have to.
fun
Sorry.
show, which is
Well,
We're very
we need
serious.
to dial down Kelly, that's all, and I think it
Yeah.
would be fine. She keeps
Right.
appearing every week. I don't know why.
It's my hula hoop. Blame it on my hula hoop. That's I
Okay.
meditate in my hula hoop.
I'm going to get serious now. Peter, thank you for your patience and for being so awesome and for all the work you've done over the decades, inspiring and helping us heal from the inside out. Respect. Thank you. But with so much, I'm going to get a bit serious now. With so much division, fear, and conflict in the world right now, are we facing not just a political crisis, but a crisis of consciousness? And can meditation genuinely help people find peace without having to escape or avoid the world?
Yes.
Moving on,
Thank
Kelly.
God.
Is that enough?
That's it.
Okay. Yes, in terms of the world today, I mean, I see so much of what's going on, the problems we're facing, whether they're geopolitical, environmental, personal, social problems, they all in one way or another come back to our own thinking, our own consciousness, because most of them behind it, when you look behind it, there's love of power, greed, egocentricity, all these things. And so often what we try to do is we see some problem in the world and we try to heal that, mend that, which is great, but we don't look deeper as to what is actually behind these problems. And that's where I think meditation is really valuable because it helps us just settle down, relax, and actually step out of that ego mode. As we're just coming back to ourselves. And that's something which then comes into our daily lives. And so, what was the second half of your question? I wanted
I have no idea. I was just mesmerized by what your words, but the sense I'm getting
to.
was please don't
I
change
know.
the world, change yourself first, and
Right.
meditation can help you do that. Kelly,
Right.
would you like
Yes.
to ask a question?
Well, one of the things I love about your books, Peter, is that you're not just assuming that we can all just do that to just let go, but let's just talk about the title of your book, Letting Go of Nothing. I mean, that by itself, I'm always into really good book titles that are so good that you might not need to read the book, but you should definitely buy it to have it, sleep on it under your pillow for those who want to dream and help your ego to unclench. So, what do you mean by letting go of nothing?
Right. We should pronounce it letting go of no thing.
Right,
Because,
right.
we think we're letting go of something, whether it's, our attachment to a relationship or something around money, or we think we're letting go of something in the world. What we're actually letting go of is our perception of that, our judgment of it. That's what's causing us the problem or getting upset about something. I mean, just very recently, I had this issue. I lived in England. I am English, obviously. I lived in England most of my life, but now I live mainly in America. Being a writer, I had boxes and boxes of books. I had walls covered in bookshelves, and I had them all packed away quite happily for about 20 years in a container up in Scotland. And I had to actually let them go because the state container was being taken away. And I was like, oh God, my God, what do I do? Looking for somewhere else to store them, etc. And then I realized it wasn't the books. It was my attachment to them. Because in the back of
Oh.
my mind, I had this idea that someday, possibly, I will come back and live in England in another nice little cottage, and I can take all these books out and furnish my place again. It's like, that's why I'm holding on to them. I didn't even know what was there.
Oh.
I didn't know what was there. So it was my perception of it rather than the books themselves. And behind so much of what we try to let go of, we're actually letting go of how we see those things, what they mean to us. And if we can let go of that, that's much easier. Then we can begin to just change the world however we want to change it. But
Perfect.
letting go, yeah.
Sorry, Peter, I love the no thing. I have not actually, that word used it so many times. I've never thought of it as no thing. Thank you. But your latest title, of course, is How to Meditate Without Even Trying. And I love that because a lot of people think they've got to work really hard when they meditate, don't they? There's complicated and difficult. And you completely debunk that. And another way, of course, to meditate is to use the power of sound, which I'm going to bring in one of our fabulous guest presenters, Alexandra Wilby, at this moment. She's a sound healer, the former deputy editor of Hello Magazine. And she's also going to be hosting 4 days at Olympia Mind, Body, Soul. And today she's brought along the organizer of that amazing adventure, where Rosalind Moody, who is also an author of a book called The Spark. And at Olympia, Rosalind says that meditation is what most people ask about. So I'm going to hand you over, Peter, now to the beautiful hands of Alexandra and Rosalind, or Ros as we like to call her, because I know they'd like to talk meditation. And I know, Ros, you also want to talk about Olympia.
Hi, Peter. Peter, you've made me want to go and declutter my loft. I have got so much in there that I'm holding on to from university. And just your words there have made me think I don't need it. I can get rid of it. Anyway, look, when I'm doing sound healing, I always feel like I am tricking people into meditating because people do think that meditating is something either difficult or boring, or they can't stop their thoughts, which obviously isn't the point of it anyway. What would be your advice to somebody who does think, I can't do this, it's too much hard work?
Right. Almost always is because they're trying to get somewhere. They hear there's some state of consciousness, bliss, or something, and they think that meditation is going to take them into this other world. The sort of meditation I'm interested in is just coming back to being here now in the present moment and just experiencing this moment. But we get taken out of that by our thoughts and concerns. So meditation is a way of just stepping back from all that thinking and worry, that stuff, and just coming back to just being here, being myself. And that's the essence of it. But people have this idea, I don't know where they get it from, but like meditation is difficult. Well, it's probably because people do find it difficult, but it needn't be difficult at all. And this idea you mentioned, thoughts, people talk about the monkey mind. I can't stop the thoughts coming in. Whoever said you're not going to have thoughts in meditation? It's like, where did you get that idea from? But it's prevalent. And yes, thoughts will come in. You ask the most experienced meditator, do you have thoughts? They say, yes, of course. They're going to happen. The thing is, what is your attitude towards a thought? If you think it's getting in the way of meditation, you're no good, you can't stop the thoughts, then meditation is not going to be easy at all. If you just recognize, oh, there's that thought. And what I teach in my practice is just to withdraw the attention from it. You've been caught in a thought for a minute or so. Just say, here I am again, caught in that thought. Not to follow the thought anymore. Just become interested again in being here now in the present moment. And that's a pattern. Thoughts will come in again, and we just come back gently, coming back to settling into the present moment. And gradually, the mind settles down, the thoughts become quieter or less. So it's a gradual process. But I think that's what gets in the way of this idea. You're not going to have any thoughts because the mind becomes more still, and we interpret the mind becoming still as blank, no thoughts. But they're going to be there, but they get quieter and quieter as you meditate.
I think as well, we're so used to not being present now, we're distracted constantly. And I think that's probably why, Roz, you were saying that one of the main reasons people want to come to Mind Body Spirit Festival is because of meditation.
Yes, that's right. Can you guys hearing me okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, good, just checking. That over 80% in one of our recent surveys, 80% of people surveyed said meditation was their main reason for coming to MBS. And that's in a huge hall around people in central London, and they still come to be still and not to block out their thoughts, but to listen to their thoughts for maybe for the first time that week or that month or with friends or alone. And it's closely followed by other topics such as, health, healthy eating, but meditation has always been at the top for us.
You need to beam Peter over,
Yes.
Well, actually, interestingly enough, I used to in the early 80s speak at the first Mind Body Spirit conferences,
Yes,
way back. I was there a number
wow.
of years. Yes.
I was probably there because I stalked it, in my
Ah.
teens. I was like, in my goth phase, I was all in black. I would
Oh,
always
I
go. Oh, I want to
remember
see a
you.
picture of that.
Yes.
Thank you. Yeah, and I was.
You were that girl. Well, I get to practice the letting go right now, letting go of something, because I have FOMO that you guys get to be at the Mind Body Spirit
Oh, Kelly.
Expo together. And what I'm thinking, Peter, with using the wisdom of your book is I'm gonna let it in, and
Yeah.
I'm just gonna let it be. Like it's
Yeah.
okay. I can f have FOMO. I can be jealous, but it doesn't have to. I can have those feelings. They just don't have to have me. And speaking of having a wonderful person who probably also has a little FOMO because she's our American-based co-presenter as well, Amy Robbins, Dr. Clinical psychologist, Amy Robbins. She's one of our wonderful co-presenters. Do you have FOMO too, Amy?
Of course I do. I had FOMO watching all the texts go back and forth about where they're meeting
Oh,
and what they're
the
doing, and we're
dream
stuck on
team.
this side of the pond.
But if
It's
you're
not
listening and you're
fair.
brave enough, honestly, we'll be together. The UK dream team will be at Olympia on Saturday, May the 23rd, on the main stage. And our producer and the founder of UK Health Radio, Johan, will be there. Rosalind, thank you for
My
that.
pleasure.
Do you want to tell people how they can order tickets and
Absolutely. Yeah, our website is mindbodyspiritfestival.co.uk, or you can hit us up on Instagram at MBS Wellbeing if you want to have a peek at what's going on. We've got 4 days of everything scheduled, everything spirituality, music, yoga, meditation, health, crystals, moonology. I honestly, the list goes on. So if they
it's
want
going
to
to
check
be
us out.
amazing.
And our wonderful guest presenter, Alexandra Wilby, is hosting the whole 4 days, introducing all the acts. They're not the acts.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's going to be amazing and put together so brilliantly by Roz. Honestly, the
Thank
program
you.
is amazing. So check it out and come and join us.
We will. So you can meet the UK team, and we will have holograms of Kelly and of Amy, and of course, Peter.
Do we get to have holograms and cutouts so people
Yes,
can?
we will.
Mine's gonna look like this. Okay.
Thanks so much, Roz, for joining us. And I hope you're a friend of this show. I hope you'll come back. But to turn to Dr. Amy Robbins, our clinical psychologist, as well as host of Life, Death, and the Space Between, one of the top 10 US spiritual podcasts, I know that you've got a question for Peter.
Hi, Peter, again.
Hello.
So as you were talking, I was thinking about this quote, which you can sort of see over my shoulder, which says, "What screws us up most in life is the picture in our head of how it's supposed to be." And so when you were talking about this notion of attachment and letting go, as a therapist who works with people all the time who really struggle with this, what is sort of the first thing? Like, where do people start? Because sometimes these belief systems and these ways of being are really embedded into who we are. So, how do we pull that thread to start letting go? Because it is more of a process than just a moment of, oh, it's gone.
I think the first thing I'd like to say about letting go is we often think it's trying to get rid of something, get rid of some feeling, getting rid of some attachment. And I think the first step is actually, as I say, letting it in. Just exploring what is there. So I have this attachment to something. It's like this belief system. Let me look at it. What is it actually, the belief system that's running this? And look at it and see what it's telling you. And one of the things I often ask people is, is that where does it come from? Maybe it has a useful side. It's there for a reason. But also, what is the cost? How is it holding you back? And if you begin to look at that, because we generally just see the positive side, I have this belief about something and that's going to help me. But also, it's probably getting in the way. It's probably making you tense for some reason, maybe getting in the way of relationships, whatever. So to look at that, and that begins to loosen it up. When you see it both has positive sides and negative sides, that begins to loosen up your attachment to that particular belief system. So that's the first thing. It really is just letting it in and seeing what's there and how it can be getting in the way.
So there might be other processes that need to occur. Like there might be a lot of grief around letting go of this experience of whatever it is, right? We'll take the books, for example. Like maybe there is grief around the fact that you were thinking about moving back to this home in Scotland and you weren't going to make it back there. So then there's it's multi-layered in this way.
Yeah. And the thing about emotions, particularly when they come up in meditation, where you, whatever's going on, you feel sad or grief or could be upset about somebody. Again, we try to get rid of the emotion. What I encourage people to do is actually to do the opposite and actually go to what it feels like. Because in emotion, we tend to get caught in the head about it. What am I, I'm feeling sad about this or whatever it is, or upset because this person said so-and-so and they're stupid. But there's always a component in the body. And we talk about a feeling is in the body. And so I suggest just look to the body. What is happening there? Oh, I find it, there's a tightness in my chest or whatever it is, there's quivering in me, something or other. There's always something in the body that's there. And just say hello to it. Not trying to get rid of the emotion. Just say hello. You know, what's this sensation in the chest about? Oh, I see, you're like this, and you spread right across here. Well, that's interesting, and it feels like this. So you're just really letting in what's happening in the body.
Peter, we need to change the song lyrics. We've got to write to Disney. Let it in, let it go. Come on, Kelly, let it in.
Let it all the way in. Don't resist it anymore.
Anyone join in?
But right.
I realize we have to go for a second ad break now, but please don't go away because we're going to bring in another amazing special guest. Peter, of course, is staying with us, sharing his golden wisdom. So stay with us, everyone. Hold that dream. I like that line. See you on the other side, everyone.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Sarah wasn't bad at her job, she was stuck in hidden grief. After her dog died, she took a sales role just to stay busy, but every pitch felt empty. A Cogna Movement session uncovered that she was seeking the warmth of her dog rather than serving her clients. Using our patented movements and sensory patterns, she cleared the grief and rocketed to the top. What hidden emotion is holding you back? Try our Essentials program at the special UK Health Radio rate. Visit cognamovement.com/radio or click on the Cogna Movement banner on the UK Health Radio homepage. Results vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. We've been having such a fascinating conversation today with consciousness teacher and meditation pioneer Peter Russell. We've even changed the lyrics to Disney's song, Let It Go.
Let it in. Not quite. It doesn't have quite the same ring.
No. Most people don't get it. They're just not quite as enlightened as we are. But we're going to become even more enlightened going forward because we have somebody who knows a lot about de-stressing and finding calm amid chaos.
Yes, mum of seven. Yes, you heard that right. Mum of seven.
Seven.
Sarah Khanna joins us today. She's a master herbalist and health expert and the author of Moodtopia, Tame Your Moods, De-Stress and Find Balance Using Herbal Remedies, Aromatherapy and More. You can find out about her at sarah.khanna.com. I really hope I pronounced that right, but Sarah is so lovely. She won't be angry with me. Now, you've heard Peter, Sarah, about the importance of finding that inner calm. Please, and I know Amy and Alex here, and who are also managing a busy family, please tell us about the importance of finding that inner calm and how on earth you managed to find any time at all to dream and meditate. Kelly was actually, or as Amy was calculating how many grandchildren you must have.
I'm definitely starting with the grandchildren. And I want to thank Peter. Like, you couldn't have given me the better transition. Like, thank you. So, you know, we have all these stressors outside in this world of chaos, and totally love meditating and analyzing what to do. But like Peter said, sometimes you just feel it in your body. Your throat can feel choked. You can have heart palpitations. You can have stomach pain. And that's where herbs, botanical plant-based medicine, really comes and shines. So when we're trying to let it go and let go of our books, oh, Peter, I have a story about letting go of my books. It's so hard because we feel it inside. So herbs can really help alleviate that physical sensation. There's an herb called skullcap, which is in the mint family, that has been used for generations, and it literally lowers your cortisol levels. So you can take skullcap once a day, five times a day, every other day. It's an herb that you can take in a tincture or liquid form, and it can really help you get to that place, Amy and Peter and Roz and Alexandra, where you want to get to. There's an herb called bacopa, which is an Ayurvedic herb that helps with brain fog. So let's say you're multitasking because you have to, Peter. You want to let it go and you want to just move on, but you got a list of like 75 things to do by noon and you have this brain fog from it. So you can take this herb called bacopa.
Bacopa, which, Kelly. Bacopa, Kelly.
Bacopa. And it can help. It can help clear the mind and get rid of this fog. So I love this idea of letting go. Oh my gosh, one of my hardest things, letting go and meditating. But really, I have found in my office, I don't want to age myself because I do lie about my age, but over three decades, I find that when people have an essential oil that they can just inhale to just cut down that monkey in our brain. We have an herb or a tea. Look, I was recently in Japan. I have this beautiful little tea diffuser here. Ooh. And it's beautiful. It's made from bamboo. And you can sit down for a moment and have a cup of tea, not with caffeine in it, please. And it can help center you so you can get to the place where you can actually begin to let go.
Peter, so, do you use herbal remedies? Do you recommend any in your meditation practice that helps you clear?
No, I don't actually. it's not an area of expertise of mine, so I don't go into that with people. But I do recommend, you know, having a calmer lifestyle. Anything that makes your lifestyle calmer, I really encourage. Yeah.
Thank you.
What I also do, I mean, following on what you were saying, Sarah, is like we can take breaks, what I call micro meditations in the day in terms of becoming calm. And micro meditation for me is just between two tasks, you know, like between finishing this and going and making tea, just to stop for 10 seconds and just to go, and just breathe out and notice where your mind had gone, what was happening in your body, just coming back, noticing the present moment again, and then getting on with life. And we can do that 50 times a day, maybe more. We can just pause for 10 seconds and just come back to being here.
Peter,
such a valuable practice.
Calmer hearing Peter speaking. Sorry. Yes.
I used in my book, Moodtopia, for people that can't meditate, I used to joke way back when we used ATM machines that you could stick your card in the ATM machine, inhale, pull it out and exhale, and there you go. There's your meditation. So I love it. I just want to jump to another herb because we have so many women on this panel today. So there's an herb called motherwort, which is for gloominess. You know, when everything's going well and you're letting it go and you're actually breathing and you're doing everything right. And then there's like this dark cloud, which I know Kelly and Teresa probably can relate to. And it's like coming to envelop you, and you're like, no, black cloud, no, no, no. And the next thing you know, you're in it, and you're like, wait a minute, I had a good morning, I exercised, I meditated, I did everything right, I didn't have that junky cereal.
I'm loving the intuitive leap from dark cloud to, I love the way you said Kelly first and then Teresa. That's good. So
I resemble that remark. Okay, motherwort. So I've got a list right now. Motherwort, skullcap, and bacopa. And I'm going to think about Barry Manilow singing bacopa, Copacabana. But when I just want to jump in for a second, because like just like with Peter's book, Letting Go of Nothing, I love the book title of your book title, Moodtopia. So that's like mood, but like utopia blended together. And in my personal world, I'm constantly struggling with the people in my world that I feel like are drama queens, are like holding on to stuff and making an identity. Not you, Teresa, not anybody in this call, I promise. But people I know, and I won't name any names, but and I have my own. I mean, my very first book, the subtitle was From Drama Queen or Trying to Be Drama Queen to Goddess Queen. It's all about like the feeling of the feelings and then the letting go, because we're here to be human. We're not just here to be completely little robots, but there is such a, it's such a fine line. And at the beginning of your book, I love the way you opened your book, Sarah, with the incredibly gripping story about what happened to your daughter. So everybody's got to read Moodtopia to find out what happened. But can you tell us how your daughter's doing and give us a little recap of what happened in that story?
Yes, I will, Kelly. And I want to tell you as a fellow drama queen from Los Angeles, drama, where I was raised, by the way, I know when the drama is around us, it's really hard. So my daughter got hit by a car. I have seven kids. I have five boys and two girls, became a quadriplegic and was in the hospital for 8 months. I really, you know, at the time I had just finished writing my book, Moodtopia. And there I was in a hospital living there 24/7. And all of a sudden I started integrating things in my book that I was subconsciously doing. Like I started to spray essential oils in the hospital room. Hospitals smell horrible. Blood, people dying. And the nurses would come in and say, oh, what's the smell today, Sarah Khanna? And they would actually ask if they could eat lunch in my room. So my daughter got better care. I started, you know, moving the furniture around, not allowed to get a feng shui kind of good feeling. And all of a sudden, taking a complete tragedy, we definitely morphed it to the best of our ability. Thank God she is out of a wheelchair, out of bed, walking with a cane. She's a brilliant young woman and accomplished in every way you can imagine. And it was, you know, no one in the hospital believed that she would even get out of bed to a wheelchair. So we really had to use the power of positive thinking. I had a big sign on the hospital door. Can you tell I kind of broke every rule that said, if you're in a bad mood, don't enter. Like, I didn't want people coming in that were like super stressed. They had to come in the door, enter our hospital room with essential oils, and I had flowers everywhere. They had to be in a good space, or I didn't need them, even if they were the top neurologist.
Wow, Sarah.
I so love that.
Just going to bring it back to dreams a bit, actually, here, Peter and Sarah. And I'd love to bring Amy in as well. I mean, many of our listeners, I know, wake up with really heavy dreams on their mind or dreams that are anxiety filled. I'd like to ask you first, Peter, dreaming, do you feel that it's a form of meditation? What are your thoughts on dreaming? I'd love, and Sarah as well. And
Yeah. I don't see it as meditation. I see it as a very valuable process with a lot of insights in it. But as for me, meditation is just coming to a state of quiet mind, stillness. And in dreams, the mind is far from quiet. It's over here, it's imagining this, and you may be getting upset about something or really excited about something. So it's a very active world. I mean, I wish we could actually meditate in our dreams so we could calm the dreams down in a way. So I don't see it as a form of meditation, but that's just the way I use the word meditation.
Wasn't it the Dalai Lama who said the greatest meditation is sleep? And of course, when you sleep, you dream.
Right.
Maybe there's something.
It wasn't that, isn't that a quote, or am I misquoting someone?
I've no idea.
Well, some of the best meditations I've ever had have come out of some of the positive dreams. Like when I was swimming with dolphins, I can meditate on that dream feeling. So I think there is a way to be able to use the positive dreams. Sometimes we experience such highs, a standing ovation or communing with Jesus or Krishna or Buddha. We can meditate on that. What do you think? What do you think about that, Sara?
Peter, have you been inspired by dreams that have helped you write a book or with a talk?
Yeah.
I did have a dream that started this book in a way, the meditation book, because I was just thinking, I was dreaming, I was in my garden and thinking, what do I do next? What do I do next in the world? And I was playing around, and then just this thing came to me. This wasn't quite a voice. It was just that realization, like, you've never pulled all your ideas on meditation that you've been sharing with people for 50 years. You've never pulled that all together in one book. And it's like,
How to meditate without even trying. Dream on it. I love it. Thank you, Peter.
It came that way. It's like, and when it did, it's like, oh, of course, I need to do this.
Of course. Oh, brilliant. Sara, dreaming for you. How has it inspired your work or not inspired it?
So I want to say that physiologically, the liver is our only organ that has a different function at night than it does during the day. So our liver functions one way when we're up and communicating, and different at night. I don't like to use the word detoxing because I don't think as humans we should think of ourselves as being toxic, but it definitely is cleansing the liver and preparing the liver for the next day. So very often people that have liver congestion, we have them take an herb called milk thistle before they go to sleep, which can actually break down any fat deposits in the liver. So I don't know how that affects your dreams, to be perfectly honest, but I know that when we support our liver before we go to sleep, people tend to have deeper sleeps and wake more refreshed, even if they're having their busy
mind. Is there a
mind.
Dream recall herb that you could recommend if people are struggling with remembering their dreams? Are there any?
So there is an herb called mugwort, which has been used for generations. It's in moxa. It's what acupuncturists burn. And they say that mugwort can help you if you're in that state, should I stay or should I go? You know, that famous song. And when you're trying to decide what to do in life. So many herbalists say you can put mugwort under your pillow. You can burn it in your room before you go to sleep. And you can drink some mugwort before you go to sleep to help you understand and remember your dreams.
Perfect. If you're listening, though, if you're going to take any herbal remedies, please check with your doctor first and make sure there are no contraindications. Amy, do you have a question for Sara?
I do, because my mind races, especially now. I think they call this time of year, for those of us who have school-age kids, Maycember, because there's something that feels very holiday scramble, end-of-year time, where I'm waking up every morning like heart racing, panicked. And the first thing I do in the morning is move into my meditation. I get up, I go to my meditation spot and I sit, but I'm having a really hard time with it right now. And I'm not sure, like, are there some herbal remedies that could help me be in that place? I know you mentioned scalp cap and copia.
Motherwort.
Yes. That, and Peter, what do you do? Like, I don't even know what I need to let go of. It's that I'm not even to the part of letting in and letting go. I'm just at like, what do I do?
Well, I think first thing is to look for where there's tension. Look for where there's tension in your mind or in your body, because if there's tension, there's something there that you're probably resisting, not letting in. It's a sign there's something going on that you're not fully aware of. So I would say explore any tension that's there, body and mind, and see what manifests, see what comes up. It's a bit like a dream. It's like you just tune into that. It's like, oh, I never realized I was concerned about my friend here, whatever it is, whatever. And you begin to see things that you can probably let go of.
Beautiful. I want
to
this
dream
feeling.
About what I need to let go of. I think I'm going to try to manifest that in my
incubate your dream.
Incubate. And Amy, a couple drops of an essential oil. It doesn't have to be complicated. You can put it on a tissue. You can have a diffuser, and just inhaling can sometimes really get you to that place.
Thank you, Sarah. I want this healing dream power time to go on forever. But sadly, it's time for us to gently wind down. And I want to say a huge thank you to you, Peter Russell, for all you are and all you do. Really, thank you for guesting today. It's been an honor. And thank you also to Sarah. It's the first time I've met you, and I know I'm going to meet you again. You are so infectious and inspiring, and you're helping us find practical ways to bring much needed calm into busy days and restless nights. Do check both these amazing people out, Peter Russell and Sarah Shana. And Peter, sometimes ask our guests to choose a piece of music that connects with the theme of the show. And your choice is the timeless classic, Let It Be. Such a perfect ending for tonight.
I can't imagine why you picked such a song, Peter, but let's hear.
why?
Can't imagine. But let's hear a few words from you about why you chose this word for this song for our UK listeners.
I got the invitation to choose a song, and I was thinking I was looking around, and it all seemed a bit sort of like quite forced or whatever. And then it just came to me, of course, Let It Be. That's what it's about, that classic from the Beatles. And that's in a way what we're talking about. The letting go is not trying to change things, but allowing it to be, and then just being with it and seeing what happens. It's so
what
perfect.
What would happen if you stop fighting for a minute and simply let it go, or let it in, let it go, and let it be? Peter, do you want to do the honours and say, take it away, Johan, or introduce? We'll let you close the show.
Let's just say it. Take it away, Johan.
Yeah, take it away. Let's go.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may